check. I sounded like I had a lot more back there. Why? But I suppose you can't help it when we talk about the Lord, because He is wonderful. Somehow when you get together and just sing about Him and praise Him, and if you can't help but say He's wonderful, and you feel the presence of Him when you praise Him that way. I just feel the presence of the Lord. I know that this is a day when many were not able to come out. And many who did come out felt that this is a dangerous thing to do, because we don't know what's going to happen later as the day goes on. But we're here to praise the Lord because He's wonderful. I can say that about the fact that He's wonderful to me, but you know, I have no doubt that the reason those of you who are here is because He's been wonderful to you. And I'm sure, let me just say, there are others who would like to come out, but somehow the weather kept them from being here, but they recognize Him as being wonderful too. It's so good to know that we have a God like we have. It's so good to know that the Lord of the universe knows us, has gone through difficulties for us. We have so many reasons to praise Him. Let me read that scripture that was brought earlier from the second chapter of the Gospel according to St. Luke, the birth of Jesus. And it came to pass in those days that there went out a decree of Caesar Augustus that all the world should be taxed. And this taxing was first made when Cyrenius was governor of Syria. And all went to be taxed, everyone into his own city. And Joseph also went up from Galilee, out of the city of Nazareth into Judea, unto the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and lineage of David, to be taxed with Mary, his espoused wife, being great with child. And so it was that while they were there, the days were accomplished that she should be delivered. And she brought forth her firstborn son, and wrapped him in swaddling clothes, and laid him in a manger, because there was no room for them in the inn. My Lord. You know, as we think about that day and that evening when Jesus was born, we can't help but wonder why there wasn't more celebration. But it was all, let me tell you my title, this message, all according to God's perfect plan. Okay. As we think about Jesus being born,
yeah,
if there had never been an event before or since that could be compared with that special time. Jesus, the Son of the living God, was born and brought to us the opportunity for salvation and eternal life. But you know, if you go through the scripture, if you read through the Old Testament, you'll find that this wasn't a surprise that the Messiah was going to come. And it wasn't even a surprise that it was going to be where it was. We can find that the prophets knew that it was going to be in Bethlehem. Somehow when the wise men, we'll be talking about them another time, but when the wise men came, they wanted to find out where this Jesus who was going to be born would be. And somebody told them all you have to do is go to Micah, the fourth chapter, and you'll find there in the fourth verse that he was going to be born in this place, here in Bethlehem. But somehow, as we think about all this means, I mean, the calendars of the world, even right now, most of the calendars align themselves with the birth of Jesus. When we look at it and recognize it as an important event, an extremely important event. I'm sure that the angels who came down from glory and sang out there where the shepherds were, where they scared the shepherds when they came, but that angel who came and brought the choir behind with him, I'm sure that they would have loved to have been able to sing in the big city of Jerusalem. But they were out on a mountain where there were just some shepherds there. Somehow it seemed that the plan that the Lord had was for this to not to be some grand and glorious celebration. But somehow Jesus was going to come humbly. This was the way that the Lord had the plan put together. And you can find throughout the scriptures that somehow he was going to be humble. Somehow he wasn't going to have all the kinds of things at birth that others might have. Somehow, I guess, when you think about the fact that Caesar Augustus decreed that there was going to be a census, it was really a census, not just tax. It says taxing, but it's really preparing for the taxes.
Yeah.
I think that he thought, well, I'm somebody special. As a matter of fact, the way he put it, all the world will be taxed.
Yeah.
It was really talking about those who were under the rule of Rome, but everybody's going to be taxed. I made that decision. I made the decision that everybody's got to go to where it is you were born, or the center of your family. You need to go there because we're going to have a census. And somehow when he put that all together and decided that, I think he felt like he had some power.
Yeah.
But you know what? It was already decided a long time before that Jesus was going to be born in Bethlehem.
Well,
why is he going to get to Bethlehem? That's not where the parents lived or the mother lived. And why would they go to Bethlehem? Well, the reason they had to go is because if you follow the lineage, you find that Joseph was of the house of David.
Yeah.
And because he was, he had to go to Bethlehem in order to be a part of the census.
Yeah.
So now, even though the emperor may have felt that he was the one who made the decision that they were going to get there, Jesus had already, God had already decided a way for Jesus to get there, for that to be the place where he would be born.
Yeah.
Somehow we look through and we find that so many people felt that they were in control throughout the life of Jesus, but somehow Jesus was always in control. The plan was going along just as God would have it to go along. He was humble, he was born in Bethlehem, just as the scriptures had said. But when we go further, we'll find that all the things that were said about Jesus and his life, we'll find that it all lined up. And even though there were people who thought they had some influence and could change things, no, it was all according to God's will.
Yes.
We can talk about that at his birth. We can also look and find out that when he's about to be crucified, we find that Pilate said, hey, I can change all this. You don't have to be crucified. All you have to do is come on, let's talk about this thing. And somehow Jesus would not do that. What if Pilate had? What if Pilate had said, okay, that's it. You won't go to the cross. We're not going to do that. No. It had to be that way. That was according to the plan. Bethlehem was according to the plan. The Calvary was according to the plan. All of the things that we talk about when we talk about Jesus are according to God's plan for salvation. And when you look at all the things that Jesus did and the way that he went through this life, we'll find that every step of the way, it was according to the will of God.
Yeah.
Out in the Garden of Gethsemane, Jesus said, if there's another way that I wouldn't have to go through all this, let's do that. But he knew that there was no other way. There was no other plan. The only plan that existed was for Jesus to come into the world as he did, to be a human like we are, to suffer as we do, to know the kinds of trials and tribulations that we had. He came in to be like us. Even though he was a son of the living God, even though he could have, when he was born, he could have been come to the Grand Hotel in Bethlehem. No, it wasn't at the Grand Hotel. There was no room in any inn. No, he was born in a manger. But you know what? Even as we talk about being born out there in that barn, even though we look at that, somehow we think about Jesus being there, somehow it turns into a beautiful night. Somehow just knowing that the Son of the Living God was born there, and all the things that were around him may have seemed like an awkward area to find even any child to be born, but the Son of the Living God was born out there. It was according to God's plan.
Yeah.
Jesus, humble Jesus. Jesus, who Isaiah said was going to be bruised for our iniquities.
Yeah.
He went to the cross because the scriptures indicated that. The scriptures didn't cause it to happen.
Yeah.
The scriptures were just written because God showed those who were there, who wrote those things, what was going to happen in the life of Jesus.
Yeah.
Jesus born in a manger. Jesus born in an humble place like that. The King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, born there according to God's plan.
Yeah.
But you know, as we look at all of this, I think we have to realize that somehow the plan did not end when Jesus died on the cross. Certainly it did not even end when Jesus went back to glory.
Right.
It did not end when he got up like he said he would. No, somehow the plan is still underway.
Yeah.
Plan is underway, and that's what I want to talk with you about right now. The plan that is still underway.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
The plan that God would have to continue to provide salvation for the world. Somehow we need to realize who we are. We are a part of God's plan.
Yes.
You who have accepted Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior are a part of the plan. You're a part of the plan because somehow Jesus had died and given us a testimony. Jesus has given us an opportunity to tell people about the Son, about Him being the Son, about Him being the one who brought salvation. If we look at Isaiah and realize that somehow that scripture, that minimal number of words can put so plainly what this salvation is all about. Because we were sheep, we kept going astray, we were wicked, we were all those things that Isaiah says about us. But somehow Jesus came into the world and He died for our sins.
Yeah.
That's what that's the whole story of salvation is about. Somehow when we look at all the life of Jesus, somehow there in Isaiah, in the 9th chapter, we can find that He was born, and where He was born, and how He was born, how He's wonderful, and all the things that He'll be called. But there in that 53rd chapter of Isaiah, we find the way that He's going to suffer for us.
Yeah.
Jesus went through all of that to accomplish so much. But that's not the end of the salvation plan.
That's right.
No. We are a part of the plan. He's expecting us to do as those who did on the day of Pentecost. When the Spirit came upon them on the day of Pentecost, they went out and started talking about the Lord.
Yeah.
But they couldn't stop. They started telling people about the goodness of the Lord. And many, many came. It wasn't just Peter and John. It wasn't just the disciples who were telling. It seemed that everybody seemed to have a word about the Lord. Yet somehow they were able to go. The Spirit of the Lord was just all over them. They were the church. They were telling people, and somehow the people understood the things that they were saying. They were able to understand what was coming off because somehow that was a part, an extension, if you will, of the plan for salvation.
Yeah.
Jesus came into the world. Jesus died for our sins. But we are to carry the word.
Yeah.
We who are the church need to be reaching out to somebody. Don't say, well, the preacher didn't get to me. No, the preacher doesn't have to get to you. Somehow those who are part of this family of faith, those who are part of the church, have the responsibility for telling somebody about the Lord. You are a part of the salvation plan. The world can't be saved by preachers. The world can't be saved by songs on the radio. The world cannot be saved except that we who are the church, we who recognize ourselves as the church, continue to work and become a part of God's perfect plan. You are a part of God's perfect plan. Think of it. God has given you something that you can go and give to somebody. The word about Jesus Christ. You can do as Philip did. Philip went out and he wasn't a preacher, but he went out and saw an Ethiopian along the way. He was reading that 53rd chapter of Isaiah, and he explained it to him. And he told him that Jesus had died for our sins. He told him that one who you're reading about there gave up his life for us. He suffered for us. That's all you need to tell him. If you just tell somebody about the Isaiah, the 53rd chapter, if you just go and home in on that, Isaiah talking about what Jesus did and why He did it and how special we are to Him. If you are able to do that and get somebody convinced that what you're saying is the truth, somehow it seems that somebody's going to be touched by the word. You are a part of the plan. It doesn't take Jesus to step in. Jesus can speak through you. Jesus doesn't have to be there to touch them. Somehow you bring them close to Jesus and He will touch them. You need to recognize how important you are to the plan of salvation. There is no other plan. I read that Billy Graham said once that when Jesus got back, and this is a scripture, said when Jesus went back to glory, said some of the angels were asking, well, how did everything go? You think we made it? You think everything's okay? And He said, I have no other plan. And they said, well, what now if Peter starts denying you, doesn't speak for you? Jesus said, I have no other plan. And so what about James and John? You know, what if folks start fighting in the church? What if there's disagreements? What if Jesus said, I have no other plan? I have the plan of salvation, that perfect plan of salvation. Jesus died on the cross to pay for my sins and your sins. We have an opportunity for eternal life because of what Jesus did. There is no other plan. We are the ones who have to reach out to others and make them know how real the salvation is if they'll just accept it. But perfect plan. Jesus came into the world humbly, born, laying in a manger, left here in pain out on the rugged cross. He has done his part for the plan of salvation. Now we need to continue to do our part for God's perfect plan. We need to touch somebody. We need to let somebody know he's real. We need to tell somebody about how he's touched our lives. We need to let somebody know that if they'll just accept Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, they have an opportunity for eternal life in the world. That's up to us. We who call ourselves Christians, we who are the church, need to reach out and touch somebody. Let the world know how real he is. Because you, every one of us, we are a part of the household of faith. Amen. We are a part of God's perfect plan.
Amen.
Salvation. Amen. For those who need to know who the Lord is. Yes. Salvation for the world. Salvation by reaching out and touching somebody. If you've got it, if you've accepted it, you need to pass it on to somebody else.
Amen.
That's God's plan. God's perfect plan. There is no other plan. Let us talk to the Lord. Our Father and our loving God, we feel humbled as we think about how Jesus was born and had to lay in a manger. Somehow, Father, there was no room for him in the end. But somehow, Father, we ask that you remind us of all that he did during those years, in those 33 very special, beautiful years. I say beautiful years because, Father, somehow the things that he did mean so much to me. For I know that he suffered, he was beaten, he was talked about and criticized. But somehow he accepted all of that, even the crucifixion, for me.